I do. Just as Jordan said, I'm thankful for a beautiful day out there. I like the springtime. It don't like my allergies. My allergies don't like it, but other than that, I really like the spring. And I appreciate the Lord. Before I get started this morning, I'm going to read you a little something that helped me this morning. In Psalm 42:1, it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" And it seems like David here, as he's writing this, he's remembering this stuff, and he's remembering how he's searching for God. And maybe it seems that he can't find him, but at the same time, he's got people around him continually saying, "Where is thy God?" You get down to verse number 10 again, they ask the same question. He said, As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, "Where is thy God?" And he asked himself the question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." He's trying to encourage himself. He says, "Hope thou in God." It's like he's in this mental battle, and he keeps getting down, and he's trying to build himself up with God. And man, sometimes we get in that same place, and we find ourselves in such a bad time that it's just a battle on the inside.
Right.
And I feel that way oftentimes. I don't know how you all are, but just on a daily basis, seems like throughout the day, something gets me down, then I have to remember the Lord. But I'm real thankful. It says that he even goes on verse number 4. He says, "When I remember these things," how he's seeking for God, he says, "I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holiday." He says, I've done the right things. Why is my soul cast down?
Right.
That's the question he's asking. You ever feel like you're doing everything right, but at the same time, you don't feel like God's within a million miles? But I love it when he gets down to verse number 8. He says, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me."
That's right.
"And my prayer unto God, unto the God of my life." He gets down to the last verse of the chapter. He says, verse number 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me?" He says, "Hope thou in God." And he don't let it stop there. He says, "I may be down right now." He says, "For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." You might be down right now. You may have come in the house of God this morning down, but just yet. Just wait just a little while. Just stay with the Lord. Hope thou in God, and you can praise him again. You can praise him today. I hope you came for that this morning. I sure appreciate the Lord. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're trying to wrap up these first six verses here. We're going to focus on verse 5 and verse 6 this morning. 1 John chapter 4. Just for our context's sake, we'll read the first four verses again. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And so thus far, I mean, that's where we quit the last time we were in this passage. And so we see, I mean, first off, we see the command for us to try the spirits. It's our responsibility to pay attention and know whether a spirit is true or whether it's false. We're supposed to do that, and we ought to be able to do that. But you say, well, how do you do that? Well, verse 2 tells us, hereby know you the Spirit of God. So you've got to know the true Spirit. If you can't know a counterfeit something if you don't know what the real thing looks like. And so that's how you figure that out. You've got to know the true Spirit in verse 2. And then we see the trickery of Satan in verse 3. What Satan's desire is to get you to think that Jesus is not who he says he was. If you can discount who he is, and then you discount his word, then you have nothing. But if you have Jesus, you've got everything. And so that's what Satan's after. He's wanting to bring Christ down from who he says he was. And then verse number 4, where we left off the last time, we see the triumph of the saints. Don't ever forget, we have won this thing. We are the winners. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we've won. We've won. You may not feel today that you've won, but you've won if you're in Christ. You've won. He's won it for you. So I'm thankful for that. But as we come into verse 5, there's a few things that we see. But I want you to understand that what he's telling us in verse 5, he's teaching us of the theme of the spirits that are of this world. The theme. Verse number 5 says, they are of the world. So first off, we see their association. And then he goes on and says, therefore speak they of the world. So we see their articulation. And third, he says, and the world heareth them. Then we find their audience. It's all about the world. All about the world. That's what it surrounds around. So first off, he says, they are of the world. We see their association. So if they are of the world, can they be of God? It don't work. We've established that. When it says they are of the world, that means they proceed from. That's where their source is. You see, the world continually reproduces itself. You know what you do naturally when you have a child? You're reproducing the world. That's the reality of it. We're all born into this world. We're part of the world. And we have to be called out of the world. We have to be brought out of it. And we're just naturally in it. But that's the source, the means of the false prophets. You see, they are all contrary to the Scriptures, and therefore they are of the world. It's a battle against God. This world is naturally bent against God since man fell in the garden. And we know that 2 Corinthians there, chapter 4, teaches us that who is the god of this world? Satan. So who originates all these false spirits? Where do the false teachings come from? They come from Satan. Once again, what his goal is to try to pull everyone away from Christ. He does not care what you think about. He does not care what false teaching you follow, as long as you're not following the right one. As long as you're not after Christ. It's not that he wants you to necessarily fall down and specifically worship him. He just doesn't want you to worship Christ. That's his desire. And so all these things originate from him, but the Bible tells us that he's a liar and he's the father of lies. So we know that's where it all comes from. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist.
Right.
Deceiver, antichrist, false. All those words are talking about things that are against what we're for here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, doing what? Deceiving and being deceived. If you think this is going to get any better, it's not. It says it's going to wax worse and worse. So that means we better be doing better and better. As Christians, to know the truth. You see, if they're getting better at better and better and better at what they do, don't that seem to reason that we better be practicing in what we do? I mean, if your opponent's getting better and you're continually battling an opponent, but Chris, you can't stay where you're at and do good. It don't work. It don't work in sports. I mean, it don't work in chess. My son's in chess. If he don't practice, if he don't do nothing, he's not going to get no better. So how do you get better? You exercise. How do you exercise? Through the Scriptures. Give yourself to reading, to study. Be here. Be at church. I'm preaching to the choir. Right? That's the terminology. I understand that. This is Sunday school. But I don't want you to quit.
Right.
Keep it up. That's what we need to do. It's what we have to do. We have a real adversary. These false spirits are of this world. And understand, they are purposefully here. It is no accident that we have Mormons, that we have Jehovah's Witnesses, that we have Baptists that preach falsely.
Right.
Right? It don't just come in Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses.
That's right.
It comes in many shapes and forms. We'll look at that here in just a minute. But the thing is that they are put in place to deceive those that are of this world. And if they can deceive and pull you aside for a while, that's what they'll do. But we ought to be so careful. One of the things that I really want you to understand today is we got to be so careful as Christians, as true Bible believers, in associating false teachers with Christ or the church. You see, sometimes we give people credit because they're trying. Well, you don't know somebody's heart. And if somebody's false, they're false.
Yes.
Regardless if they know better or not. And you can find out where their heart is if you tell them the truth, you take the scripture to them and show them the truth.
Right.
And Brother Creston, they turn away from it.
Right.
I don't have a whole lot of help for them.
Amen.
At that point. If they refuse the truth,
right,
what can you do?
Right.
They're false.
That's good,
and don't give them more credit than they're due. But Jesus had something to say about these false prophets in the book of Matthew chapter 7.
Yeah, he did.
And he wasn't easy on them.
Nope.
He was not. And it's, you know, the day we live in, really, really it's so easy for us to just be like, Ty, they're off just a little bit. But if they're off just a little bit enough to send somebody to hell, that's a big deal. If they get one thing about the gospel wrong, Brother Jerry, if they add one thing to it, if they take one thing away from it,
yep,
it's a wrong doctrine, and it can literally shipwreck somebody.
Yes, sir, buddy.
And put them on a road to hell. And we don't take that serious. I'm afraid we don't take it serious enough.
You're right.
And I think it was the book of Jude teaches us that we ought to pull people out of the fire. And that ought to be our desire.
Right.
Would have compassion. If some have compassion, right? Make a difference. And that ought to be what we do. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he says, Jesus says, beware of false prophets. He says, which come to you in what kind of clothing? Sheep's clothing. Do they look like false prophets? They might show up in a white shirt and black pants.
Right.
They might have a pretty gold name tag on. They might come in looking just like you.
Yep.
Sometimes they show up on stages in a pair of shorts and a Hawaiian shirt and say, welcome. This is real.
I know it is.
All you have to do is turn on your TV for a minute to TBN or wherever you want to look. And that's the truth.
Yep.
They don't come in with a frown on their face. Most of the time they have a smile.
Yep.
They make themselves look like you want to be. They make you think, you need to be like me. They want you to desire what they have.
Yes.
They're not straight about what they're teaching. So they come in sheep's clothing. So first off, you see their form. They're in sheep's clothing. But then he goes on and clarifies. He says, but inwardly, they are what? Ravening wolves. They're out to steal, kill, destroy. That's what they're out for. They want to take from you. But he says, so we see their form, verse number 16, he says, you see their fruit. Ye shall know them by their fruits. In other words, you've got to watch to see what they really are. Sometimes it's not as easy as an appearance because they might look right. So you got to watch their fruits, right? He says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. We are supposed to be people watchers.
Yep. Better believe it.
Fruit inspectors.
Right.
That's not judging.
Right.
God's the judge. But I can know, if I spend enough time around you, I can know pretty sure if you're the real thing or not.
Sure.
I've seen it over and over in my life.
Yes, sir.
And when my spirit starts not bearing witness with their spirit,
amen.
I just know, Kevin. Yeah. I mean, that's just the reality of it. You can just know. If you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside, it don't take very long.
That's right.
You start seeing some fruit, and it don't look right. It don't taste right.
Go ahead.
And you just start thinking, there's something wrong here.
Yes. Yes.
And then before long, at the time they're supposed to be a ripe grape, they're a rotten fig. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. And you say, something's wrong here. So we got to just pay attention to their fruit. So you see their form, their fruits, and then the facts. Verse number 21. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." That's the fact. If you're going to get in Christ, you're going to get in through God's will, which is that you come through Christ. There's no other way. These people, we know by the rest of this passage, that's not how they tried to come in. Not trying to come in through Christ. They're trying to come in through what they do. What they do. Verse 22, we see their focus. "Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" Boy, I've done a lot of good. Done a lot of good things. Did that matter? No. Because they didn't know Christ. Verse 23 tells us their fate. "And then I will profess unto them." Here's the thing. Being careful about associating these people with Christ. Because he says, "I never knew you."
That's right.
So, why do we not believe in ecumenicalism? Why do we not associate with a lot of these other churches that maybe, John, they're doing some right things,
but
they're not about the right thing?
Right.
And this is why. Jesus didn't associate with them. He said, "I never knew you." It wasn't, "I knew you a little bit."
Stay on, brother.
Right? He says, "I never knew you." So, Holly, that's why we don't allow our kids to go places that all the other kids go.
Yeah.
That's how we protect them.
Yeah.
Why? It's because there's some wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to put my children in harm's way. I don't want to put me in harm's way. I mean, that's the truth. I really don't. But now, understand, there's a difference. There's a difference in going out to help somebody, teaching them truth, knowing they're in error. We have that example in Scripture.
Yes.
I think it was Priscilla. Was it Priscilla and Aquila?
Yeah.
They went and talked to Apollos. Pulled him aside. They done it the right way.
Yep.
And the Bible says they told him the way more perfectly.
Yes, sir.
You see, he just had a little bit wrong, but they knew his heart.
Yep.
They knew his heart was for
right.
God. He was trying to do what was right.
Yes, sir.
Brother Steve, if I find in your Christian life that you're doing something false, I know that you have a heart for God. I believe that with all my heart. And so my correct way to handle that would be to come to you, wrap my arm around you in love, and say, "Brother Steve, I love you. And I believe you love the Lord and I love the Lord. And let me show you from the Scripture
right.
what it says you ought to do."
Hallelujah, brother.
And then you know what I believe you'll do?
Right.
You'll say, "I want to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't know no better."
Yeah.
But you take somebody who's false, what do they do?
Like it,
they don't want to be shown the truth.
Yeah.
They don't want it. They don't like it. They don't love it.
Yeah.
Hey, they don't want it. That's why we can't help some people. They don't want the truth. Folks, this is as plain as I know how to put it. But You notice their association. He makes it clear. He says, they are of the world. They're not of God. They're of the world. That's why they don't hear us. They're of the world. So just be careful who you associate with God. But secondly, he says, therefore speak they of the world. So their articulation, their speech, the things they talk about. You notice that the topics of the false prophets that you know of are never a message just on Christ. Never just about his death, burial, his resurrection. It's never focused on the gospel. What's it focus on? It focuses on feelings, finances, family, fun, right? Enjoyment. That's the speech of this world. That's why they can draw a crowd. I'm thankful for the crowd that we have that's interested in the truth. But if Kevin was to get up here and change the message, he could. He could. I don't think he's going to. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but if he wanted to draw a crowd, Kevin, I believe we could pack his property with people. I believe it. We start, Eric, we change the message. We start preaching finances, how to get people down the road in this world a little better, to build their pocketbook, to make their family happier, have that Facebook lifestyle,
yeah,
all of that stuff. We do that. Guess what would happen to our church? Explode. Start having all these fun events. Don't make Bible school about the teaching of the Bible no more, but make it about fun and fellowship, which it's good to have in its place. But you take out the truth of the Scripture from it, it's pointless. It's pointless. You see, people ask us, why don't you have more for the youth? Why don't you have more of this? Why don't you have more of this? Why don't you do this? Why aren't you involved in this?
Go ahead,
John. If the gospel don't do it,
right,
I don't want it.
Right.
I don't want my family in it.
Right.
And you ought not either.
Amen.
And that's, but so their speech, they please the world. That's the point. It's not of Christ. And that's what they are about. See, their articulation, it's about the world. So do you ever wonder why the people that you come in contact with out in the world that go to other churches that you know are false, let's be real. There's a lot of false churches, a lot of false preachers. You find them, you talk to them. Man, they're happy. They act happy. You go talk to them. Is Christ the conversation that comes up? That's right. That's not the topic. Why is it that when you go to talk to other so-called Christians, why does Christ never come up? Why is he not the first topic of conversation? There's a good chance he may not even be in their life. But that's the truth of it.
Yes.
Why is Christ not the first conversation?
Yes.
Why is he not the center point of our fellowship? But instead, we talk to people, and the topic of the world is they want to talk about money and sports, entertainment, possessions, politics, work. Hey, they'd rather talk about work than talk about Christ.
Yes.
Why? Why is that? How many people on a daily basis come to you and say, hey, I want to talk to you about the Lord?
Oh, brother.
It don't happen to me. I don't know. There was one time, there was a fellow that chased me down on the job site one day. And he came here when he was working in this area. Y'all remember Brother Terry? Brother Longbeard, that's it. That's what Brother Kevin called him while he was preaching. Brother Long, hey, I believe he wanted the Lord. He came, he said, there's a Christian out here somewhere. On the job site, he hunted me down, Brother Nathaniel. And he said, hey, I'm up here for so long, we're working. He said, I need a good place to go to church. And he found me, and he came, and he sat over there. Man, he'd cry, and he'd raise his hand. And he said, I love this place.
Amen.
And he enjoyed it. And you know what he was? He was faithful while he was here. He wanted the truth. But that don't happen most times in my life. Most of the time, somebody sees me coming, they know. They're just like, gone. Brother, that's just the truth of it. I was talking to one the other day. I said, this is somebody that me and, well, probably everybody in here knows, really, but Nathaniel would know this fellow real well, and I know him well. And I was on the phone with Kevin, and he pulled up beside me out there, and I got to be careful not to name names, but I said, man, I'm still looking for you to come out to church with me. Oh, I know it. He said, how long? I said, how long have I been trying to get you, and you've been telling me you're going to come? He said, probably about 8 years, didn't he? That's what he said. Kevin overheard this conversation. He said, probably about 8 years. I'm still going to come one day. But he won't hang around real long. But why is that? But now, wonderful person as far as to me. If I was to call him today, I could call him. He'd stop whatever he was doing and come help me. I believe he loves me. I really do that. I think he does. But he's of this world. He's not saved. And he'll tell you he's not saved. But he loves the things of this world, the pleasures of this world. And the reason he don't want to hang out with me much is because he knows what I'm going to talk to him about when he's around. Because I know he needs the Lord. But if I want to talk about hunting, if I want to talk about fishing, he's all in. He'll hang out as long as he wants to. You mention the Lord, split. Gone. Why is that? He's of the world. But I've got compassion. I got compassion on people like that for miles. So understand there's a difference. There's a difference in the ones that are false prophets and want to stay that way and the ones who will just admittedly just be lost that you're trying to help. That's why we go visit and we door knock and we knock on the same doors over and over and over. Yep. We love them people. They need to be saved. The Holy Ghost hadn't got a hold of them yet. But the ones that willingly refuse the truth will not just say that's right, and they continue to go in a false way. That's the ones you really got to worry about. But that's the topic of this world is the world, and folks, they don't want to talk about anything of any eternal value. And you know as well as I do, the devil's purpose is to blind them from the truth. And that verse I referenced, and we've referenced plenty of times throughout this, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, says, but if our gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath what? Blinded the minds. You see, that's what the devil's job is he's going to blind people. How do we get blinded? How's America blinded? We're blinded by stuff. The American dream, right? Houses, land, possessions, entertainment. That's, if you've not figured it out, that's the blinders we have today. It's not that everybody you talk to is in a false religion. It's just most that we talk to are so steeped in what they love, they can't part with it. More than lovers of God.
Yes!
That's the reality of it.
Yes,
they love
sir.
The world, and they love. And apart from Christ, Christian, you know where you and I'd be?
Same
the same
right.
boat. That's the world. That's just the way it is. And until you've come out from among them, you can't see it because you're blinded. But people's minds are just so preoccupied that they have no more remaining capacity for the things of God. They are so full of the world. And that's a dangerous place to be. And as time goes on, it just gets worse and worse. It seems like there's more and more and more. Do you remember the parable of the sower, Mark chapter 4, verse 18? It says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. But then what does it say? And the cares of this world. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Does that sound familiar? And the lusts of other things. That sounds real familiar. Enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Was it ever a problem with the word? No. The problem is the things that person is surrounded with. Those thorns that choke it out. We live in a thorny society. And that's why it's hard for us to reach people. They're choked out. Any seed that tries to get planted and grow, as soon as somebody walks out that door, guess what there is? Thorns everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. And we get frustrated. Brother Kevin, I understand. If you up here preach and there's lost people that come in, day out, and you're preaching your guts out to them. And I'm thankful for it. But they leave lost. Why? Because as soon as they get out the doors, the devil has thorns planted everywhere.
Yeah, you're right.
You're one branch. You preached it the other night. He's the vine. We are the what? We're the branches. You're a branch. That's a world of thorns.
Right.
You're fighting a hard battle.
Yep.
It's not easy. They're of the world and the cares of this world. It's against us. And don't get discouraged in that, brother.
No,
just keep preaching.
Yep.
You other preachers, just keep at it. I mean, Jerry, that's just part of it. The battle is hot.
Yeah.
It is. That's just the reality. Kristen, just keep at it.
Yeah.
You're a branch.
Yep.
Keep preaching.
Right.
Do what you can do. Produce the fruit that you can produce. You can't help. You can't help all the stuff out there. You do what you can do. As Brother Delmer says, preach and go to the house.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
If they're not careful, like, you can take it personal, can't you?
That's right.
And I mean, I don't do what they do, but I understand to a degree.
Right.
You get up here and you shell everything out that you've got to shell, so to speak. And then you see lives not changed because of it. You see people do the same thing they've done day in and day out, and you wonder why. It's because it's a thorny world.
Yep.
It's
right.
A thorny world.
Good,
and so lastly in this verse, we see the audience. It says, and the world heareth them. You see, if you preach about the world, guess what the world's going to do? They're going to listen. They like to hear about the world, Brother Rick. You ever wonder why, preacher, do you ever wonder why it's just hard to get people the gospel? Why? Why is it hard to give somebody something that's so good?
Oh, yeah, brother.
You'd think, man, they'd just grab it and run with it and be happy about it, but that's not the way it works out. It don't work. You see, it's not of this world, and they are. They don't care about things that are not of this world. And they're looking for things that please their flesh. They want a feel-good message. How many times in your life do you hear somebody say, tell me something good? Why do you think that is? They want to hear something that pleases them, something that makes them feel good.
Right.
They don't want to hear what you have to say about the Lord, and that's why we need
right.
the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
You see, my words mean nothing. But when the Spirit talks, that's what we need. He can make the difference. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Folks, John, we can go talk to Jerry Dale Huff as much as we want to. We can sit for hours and hours. But if we can say all we want to say. We could quote the whole scripture to him, Kristen. But if the Spirit of God does not do the reproving, if he's not the one that does the convincing, then we can't do it. And it's out of my hands. I mean, really, we can declare it. But the Holy Spirit's the one that's got to get it in his heart. That's the reality of it. Lost person can come here day in, day out, day in, day out. If the Holy Ghost doesn't do the work, Eric, it won't be done. It can't be of our flesh. It has to be a work of God. And so don't get frustrated. I mean, 2 Timothy 4, chapter, verse 2 through 4 says this, preach the word. Be instant in season,
yeah.
out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But here's the truth of it.
Yes.
The time will come when they will not endure. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
After their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they got something that they want scratched.
Right.
That's what it's telling you. They've got an itch. They want it scratched. So they're going to pick the right person to scratch it. That's what's going to happen. They're not just going to take anything that's true. They're going to find something that makes their itch go away. That's what they're talking about. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Folks, this is not a new problem. It just keeps getting worse. The problem was there in the apostles' day, right? You remember Stephen? He preached his message. And what happened in Acts chapter 7, verse 57? It says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They did not want to hear Stephen preaching them the truth about who they really were. They stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. You ever thought about how Stephen's word was not enough right then to do anything for Saul? He was there. He heard the preaching. And he was consenting to all these deaths, we know. But what did it take for Saul to convert? The Lord had to come to him. But I imagine all them words that Stephen preached came back.
Oh, yeah.
See, Stephen couldn't do it. If Stephen could have done it, he would have.
That's right. Good brother.
Stephen couldn't do it. You and I can't do it for people.
Amen.
As much as I wish I could drag people into heaven. I can't.
Right.
We tell them the truth. Let God do His work. Don't try to force people. But the impact, no doubt the message impacted Saul, but it took the Lord to make the difference. And I'm thankful for that. Lastly, I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Right here, we see in verse number 6 here, back in 1 John chapter 4. We'll be wrapping it up right here real quick. It says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So first off, we see the reinforcement from John. He says, we are of God. Notice, he said in verse number 4, he said, ye are of God. But this time he says, we are of God. What he's saying is, I'm with you. I'm on your side. And I just want you to realize that I'm thankful, and I hope you're thankful for brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're not in this thing alone. But we are in this together. And I need you, and I hope at times you feel like you need me. If not, I still need you. And so I appreciate that. And we see the reiteration, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that's not of God heareth not us. There's a clear differentiation between the people of God, people of the world. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The world does not hear God until the Holy Ghost does His work. And here's the difference. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice.
Yes.
Right? You see the difference? They hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, the world don't hear us because they don't know us, and it's because they don't know Him. And John, 1 John here, chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not.
That's right.
See, they don't know us. They don't know our word, because they don't know Him. Don't get frustrated because people don't receive you when you bring them the Word of God. You can't force it. God has to do that work. The last thing, he wraps it up there at the end of the verse. He says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He says, I've given you the revelation. This is how you understand. This is how. By trying the spirits, by knowing the true spirit, by understanding the trickery that Satan has for you, and always never forget the triumph of the saints. It's very important that we always remember we're on the winning side of this. Because if you start taking all this on yourself, you know what you'll feel? You'll feel defeated. Because it's more than you can handle. You can't win everybody to the Lord. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. And we understand from there at verse 5 the theme of the spirits of this world. Their theme is the world. See, God wants us to know the truth and understand and be able to just go on and follow Him in spite of the world that's around us. But nevertheless, all this makes the world sound real bad, right? It does. It does. And it's a bad place. That's the reality. But don't ever forget, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world."
He loved it. Yep.
He loved it. "That He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, you start looking at all that God did for the world. The Bible says that God loved the world. He came as a light to the world. He came and sowed seed in the world. Sounds like He's invested a lot in this world. He commanded that we preach to all the world. He's preached of the coming end of the world and the judgment that's to come. In John chapter 4, verse 42, the Bible teaches us that Christ is the Savior of the world.
That's right.
Sounds like He loves the world, don't it? And He came to give His life to the world. But Paul told us, as I wrap up, Paul told us over in Philippians chapter 2, you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to shine as lights in the world.
That's right.
That's all you and I can do is to shine the light. And we need to shine it, and we need to shine it toward Jesus. Say, "You need to get to Him." And if we do that, we've done our job. That'd be what we ought to do. So I appreciate everybody's good attention. We'll have prayer for...